Amen. Well, Father God, we just praise you and glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful things that you've done for us. And most of all, our salvation, because we know we have eternal life with you. And we praise you and we glorify you that tonight's going to be an awesome time, Lord. We thank you, Father, that everybody is reared up and prayed up on the fear of the Lord. And we praise you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome, awesome time. We thank you, Father, for this open heaven that we have, that we know that when we pray and we believe what we have prayed is going to happen, we receive it in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that tonight's not going to be an exception, that those need healing will be healed. Those need deliverance will be delivered. Those that need anything, Lord, you're going to see to it that we get our prayers answered. Because we believe, we trust you, Lord, to fulfill the things in the Bible. It tells us about the promises. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for all of us tonight. Thank you, Father, that you've finally brought us Karen. Seems like she's an old hand at this already, Lord, that she's already part of the family. And we praise you and we glorify you that you're going to bless her mightily tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do here. Lord, I thank you for my brother George just showed back up here the last couple of times, and it's awesome. Thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Okay. Praise God forevermore. Woo, man. I've been watching some A.A. Allen. You know what that does. My goodness sakes alive. Getting people up out of the gurneys. Couldn't get up out of bed, glory to God, and they just jump up and just go to dancing. Gracious sakes alive. I've seen it, but I sure like to watch it again. Because we're fixing to see a lot of that. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Rhea.
Hey, everyone.
How about a testimony? I want to pray, if y'all will believe with me, okay? Father God, I just praise you and I glorify you. And I thank you, Lord, that every prayer that we've prayed, and you, as you know what concerns, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that they are being answered even as we speak. I thank you, Father, for a move of your Holy Spirit and amongst the enemy that would save the ones that you have already elected to be saved, and those that are not will be done away with, Father. And I thank you for scattering our enemies to the four corners of the world. And I praise you for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that the anointing of the man child is right at this time. And I praise you, Father, that it's going to happen as well. And not only that, but the kingdom is going to go forth in a mighty power outpouring that you're going to do, Lord. And I thank you for it, that you're going to bring people up out of the apostate religion and bring them into the truth of the gospel. And I praise you for that, Father. Glory to God, because it's going to open up eyes. You're going to open up their spiritual eyes and their spiritual ears to hear and see what you're doing in the world today. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for the happenings that are happening over in the Middle East and over in Africa. Father God, is, oh gosh, from one man has multiplied here in the last three years, I think, to well over 100,000 people. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, that you're putting faith in those people, those evangelists over there, to believe that when they pray for people or when they pray for provisions or whatever they pray for, that it's going to happen. Because it's not them, it's you. And I thank you for doing that, placing that in their heart, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for blessing everybody here tonight with wisdom and discernment. And, Lord, I thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Man, I am so excited about what God's fixing to do. My goodness gracious sakes alive. Can you imagine bringing people back from the dead after being cremated. Can you believe that? Can anybody believe that? How many of you know God can do anything? He is not limited by our knowledge. He's not limited by anything other than what he wants to do and what his plan is. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Woo! Glory be to God. I wish somebody get excited in here, because this is time to be excited, because there's some things going on here. Glory to God. Oof, my. We'll be sitting on the front porches up there in heaven. Come on over, Rihanna. I'll tell you about, remember that time? You know, we'll be able to do that. We'll be doing that kind of stuff. Samuel, come on over, man. We're going to talk about what happened. You remember that? You know, we're going to be doing that. Patrick, you too. Come on over, brother. We're going to have us a great time remembering the things that's fixing to happen in the head of us. And I'll be calling Ben. Ben, you and Karen, come on over here. I want to tell you about what happened this time. That's it, Samuel. Yeah, remember that time the Lord translated me over there into South Africa? We went over there and we just had a great time with those people over there. Remember that time David went over to wherever it was he goes to? And we thank you, Father. Oh, my. Hi, Tim and Katie. Good to see y'all. Bless you.
Good to see you.
Yeah. All right. Anybody got a testimony? Yeah, Vanita.
I just have a praise report. We'd prayed for my dog to stop drooling all the time, and amen, it is gone. He just loves being in the car now and sticks his head out the window and has a great time. So praise the Lord. And also another thing, he had a big cut. It was about this big on his side. It was just open, wide, and you could see like the red inside. He ran into something playing with his big cousins, but Nick and I prayed over it, and we didn't take him to the vet or anything. We didn't try to do anything with it, and it just closed right up, and it's healed. So praise Amen. The Lord took care of
thank
that
you,
too.
Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? I got to turn a little air on. It's only 81, but it's a little bit kind of still in here. Yeah, go ahead, Tim or Katie.
Yeah, so obviously, like I told you guys in the group chat, we've been going through a lot of attacks and stuff. And, you know, we were just feeling far from the Lord and depressed and stuff. And then we've been joining this one group that we go to on Wednesday, and it's a Christ-based like recovery group. And it's totally a blessing, and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they asked us to speak. So we got to testify about what God's done in our lives there. And that was a huge blessing for all of us. And then we prayed over a brother named Andrew, who we noticed like he was really struggling and just going through like anger and depression. And so we went up to him and asked him if he wanted prayer. And we prayed over him. And then he gave a testimony at that meeting about how since we prayed for him, he's been feeling joy and no anger, no sadness, no depression, and that he's also 3 days without smoking weed. So it's so amazing. Like even in the midst of a trial, God's been using us. So I'm just praising him for that. And it's just awesome, the doors that he's opening and the things that he's doing. So I just want to thank you guys also for your prayers for us, because they're definitely working and God's doing
Amen.
An amazing
thank
work.
Thank you, Father. Glory to God. That's awesome. Thank you, Katie. That was awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just want to thank God for possibly saving my contract at work today. I was bouncing around doing a lot of stuff, kitchen, setting up for catering, blah, blah, blah. And I had a manager and a chef supposed to be taking care of some stuff. And I was picking up the hot food to run it. And I opened the steamer and looked, and the whole pan of green beans was pretty much rotten. And I look at it and I touch them and I'm trying to figure it all out. I'm like, guys, you know this is rotten, don't you? And one of my managers looked at it. He said, yeah, they were slimy. I was trying to pick through them. And I about lost my mind. And I said, okay, well, we can't serve that. Do we have any broccoli? And they're like, yeah. So I busted out the broccoli, got that going, and told them to dump that directly in the trash. And I didn't blow up and didn't lose my cool, kept everything peaceful, ran the food, and then later had to speak out loud that love covers a multitude of sins. And that's kind of what I'm trying to walk out with those guys. And I delivered it to the decision makers. This is the week they're deciding on our contract. There's a general love fest about the service that I've been giving them for about 15 years up here. But, you know, it's one little thing like that to put rotten food in somebody's mouth, and who knows what else could have happened. And I just feel like God, he plowed a deep, deep rut in that kitchen today, and I'm pretty happy about it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Benita. Benita, tell Nick he's in the wrong room.
Okay, I'll let him know.
Okay. I just got a notice. Go ahead, Rihanna or Claire.
Hello, Michael, everyone. I have a dream that I think the Lord wants me to share about what you were doing on Wednesday when you guys were talking about prayer. And we might, I don't know if we'll continue that today, but it was just a really quick little dream I had last night, and I know that he wants me to share it. So I had a dream of one of the sisters in Christ on this outreach fellowship praying. And I saw piano notes go up in the air as the keys were played. She prayed a beautiful prayer, and those notes were rich and varied and sounded like a symphony. Then I heard another prayer, and it was being beaten out on the piano and sounded as if it was prayed by someone who's tone deaf. The notes were bland and rigid. Our prayers can either be sweet melodies if they're aligned to the word. This is what the Lord gave us as interpretation, and filled with faith, heartfelt praise, and real love, or they can be vain repetitions. Matthew 6 verse 7 says, and in praying, use not vain repetitions as the Gentiles do. They think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1 says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now ask the Lord for a word by faith at random, and I received this, which is so beautiful. Psalm 147 verse 14 and 16. He maketh peace in thy borders. He filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth out his commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. Isn't that a beautiful confirmation of praying? That's so beautiful. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, and our tunes are right in tune, Lord of God. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Well, Nick, so glad you could join us. Hey, buddy. All right. Has anybody else got a prayer request or would like to comment on something before I play the praise music? Okay, I'll play the praise music. You can do that. Uh-oh. It does that occasionally. But it's not tonight, in Jesus' name. We'll get back up there. Can y'all hear me?
We can hear you, but we can't hear anything. Like from,
Everything's frozen up.
Bummer.
Just give me a minute here. Ain't this special? Okay, here we go. Can y'all see it? Uh-oh. I'm back. Hang on. All right. One more time here. We'll try it one more time. I'm sorry, folks. Just a little glitch here. Y'all here?
God of Jacob, great I am, King of angels, Son of man, voice of man.
old mountain be made low, valley be raised up. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Tonight, we want to talk about the fear of the Lord. And, hang on. Proverbs 3:7-8 is what was provided. It said, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Lots of verses relating to this. Amen. That's a good one. Has anybody got any thoughts on the fear of the Lord? I went in there. It's either fear of the Lord or fear of the Lord or any of those types of things in there. Fear of Jehovah, if you're in the ASV. And it seemed like I saw like it was 87 verses or something like that, close to that, in the whole Bible about fear of the Lord. So it's something that God wants us to know, maybe. He wouldn't put it in there that many times. All right. Does anybody want to tell me what the fear of the Lord is all about? All right, Benjamin, go ahead, brother.
Okay.
That's Andrew.
Tell people about the fear of the Lord. There's this verse in Isaiah chapter 11, 1 and 2. And I compare this to the light that's in a person's spiritual temple. And there's seven items there. One of them is the fear of the Lord. And it's a spiritual entity, but it's also a light that's in your soul. It's a glory of God. You know, in the holy place in chapter 9 of Hebrews, it talks about the lamp of the Lord being in this holy place. So that would be in your soul. And there's the table showbread there. So that's the word of God. You got some bread to show, some word of God to show. And this word of God and this glory of God operates in unity. But one of them is the fear of the Lord. So this is a light that's in you. This is part of the Holy Spirit that's in you, this fear of the Lord. Yeah, the fear of the Lord is mentioned in the book of Revelation. You know, it's mentioned in 14 and 7 of Revelation. It talks about to fear God back then. And it's probably near the very back, one of the last places fear is mentioned. And it's it does mention creation there too. So, you know, they don't want to, they've been destroying creation, the Genesis creation, and of course it's a type and shadow for what created in Christ Jesus upon good works too. So I just wanted to bring that light issue, because you know in John chapter 1 it talks about the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything was made by him. Nothing was made that wasn't made by him. In him was life, and this life is the light of men. And that light of men, that fear of God, the great reverence, the great honor we have toward our Father. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But to fear God means you want to obey him too. So it's very close to love. And love bears fruit. And that's what you can take to heaven. it's the only thing that won't fail, you know, is the love of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the light in you. It's given to you by the anointing of God, and it's a lamp that's within your soul. It lights up your soul and it makes you shine. This little light of mine, I will let it shine. And the Lord warns us, fear not him that can kill the body, but fear him that can kill the body and throw you in hell. But you see, God's sovereign over both of these signs. He's sovereign over the person, the man you might fear, but he's also sovereign over the person who passes away. For us, it would be a wonderful thing to pass away because we don't go to hell, we go to heaven. But a lot of people, when they read that, they just go, well, life's just that. But God's sovereign. He's sovereign over everything. He choreographs all of that. He knows where everyone's going before we know. And he knows the day and the hour he called you. And some people do remember that. I just remember it was when I was 28 in the fall. But I can tell you almost within 10 feet where it happened at work. And so the fear of the Lord is a reverence toward him. Honor the Lord. And you know, there's quite a bit, you know. People should fear the Lord when they read about the end times. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says that in the last days, mockers shall come with mockery. I read that not too long ago. And they come with the mockery to teach you to mock God. If you want to believe in evolution, then you're mocking God. You're mocking his word. So they teach you a mockery. So you would pick up on that. God would give you the antennas and say, oh, I better fear the Lord here because he's saying something wrong here. You know, he might say millions and millions of years ago. And we know different from that. So I'm just not looking through to find where the fear of the Lord is mentioned. I have some of those verses, but I just wanted to give that start off to show you that it's a good thing. It's a light from God. You're supposed to fear God. And everyone does fear their dad, especially when he used to carry around the whatever. and that's just gone from society, too, because anyway, that's it. Okay.
Amen. That's good. And yeah, we all remember our father. We also remember the good, the loving side of him, too. The loving side of our Father is awesome. His grace and his mercy is so awesome. But there's the fear aspect too. You know, you want to, that fear to me is want to learn more about him. And once you learn more about him, it's not a fear anymore. It's just a trust. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? Unless you hiccup. Go ahead, Samuel.
Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Someone who doesn't fear God has no respect for him and is arrogant and rebellious.
Yeah.
Like Job's wife, having hatred and expectations of God. We know that verse where he said, renounce God and die. But Job said, thou speakest as a foolish one. Why shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall we not receive evil? It's not about the evil that we're fighting. It's about the love for God to be in respect and reverence for him. We want to control our own lives and rule our lives. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. He wants to give you the best. And he will show you the way. Our life is in his hands. Renounce fear and failure and fear of man. Matthew 10 and 28. And fear not them that kill the body, like Andrew said before, because God can destroy the soul too. But it's not about that. He wants you in his heavenly presence forever. It's a just God. He's got a standard. How much control do we have? Satan deceived Adam and Eve to be like God. We cannot cause our heart to beat or control our breathing. Just read all of Job chapter 38. And one of my favorites is the silversmith. If you analyze what a silversmith has to do, He has to watch that silver in the flame until it's perfected. He has to get the flame perfect, and if it's too hot, it destroys it. He's molding us in his hands. He's not going to just mess it up. He wants it perfected. Proverbs 25, verse 4. Take away the dross from the silver, and there cometh forth a vessel for the refiner. He wants us as perfection as Jesus. So there's a standard that we can achieve. Malachi 3:2-3. But who can abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and purify of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them as gold and silver. And they shall offer unto the Lord offerings in righteousness. Psalm 66:10. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. What are trials? It's for a good reason. Isaiah 1:25. And I will turn my hand upon thee and thoroughly purge away thy dross and will take away all thy tin. And this is the final part. Get in line with the one true loving, living, amazing, awesome God. Call to him. Anything in it that is contrary to him is cast out. We want to be the one with Lord Jesus, not just dining together. Bless you all.
Amen. Yeah, we want to be one with Christ. Matter of fact, we want to look just like him. That's why he tells us, 2 Corinthians 1:18, 3:18. Look like him, walk like him, act like him. Go ahead, Julie.
Thanks, Samuel. When you were talking about Job, I was just looking up scriptures for departing from evil, because there's this, I couldn't remember where it was, but, you know, fear the Lord and depart from evil. But what I found there was Job 28:28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And that's what the fear of the Lord gives us, like someone said, is understanding and wisdom. So you know what right and wrong is, you know what evil is, and you know, start to learn what God requires of us, and that we want to depart from evil, which is sin, which is, you know, walking in darkness and all those things. And the other one, Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thy own understanding, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And where was the other one? Just being separated from evildoers, Psalm 119:115, depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. It's because, you understand, bad company corrupts good morals. You understand when people are walking contrary to what you believe and what you know is right and wrong, that, it's just a deeper understanding, of what God, who God is, and what right and wrong is. Like when he told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because they weren't able to eat from that tree. But we have that opportunity now to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because we have the spiritual discernment. We have the Holy Spirit who teaches us those things. That's all.
Amen. Thank you, Judy. Go ahead, Andrew. There's a lot more to that stuff that you were talking about. That's a good start right there. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I mentioned that one of the lights, it's seven lights on this lamp. I'm just noticing that a lot of people are talking about wisdom and knowledge and understanding and teaching and the strength of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord. So the central light is the Spirit of the Lord, and then it fans off on three and three on the other side. All these lights are within your soul, and it makes you a child of light. This is, you know, you were told you were a child of light, but this is the burning light, the sensation light, that when you go into the before the altar and speak to the Lord, which is in your spirit, and make petitions of him for more grace, he brightens this light in you. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when you get wisdom, you get understanding. When you get understanding, you get knowledge. So, you know, it sort of flows through this whole life, because they're all attached in that spirit, that verse in Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. And I just wanted to bring that up, how important this fear is, because it's right next to all the other lights. And this light, I sometimes ask a question whether one burns brighter than the other, or do they all burn at the same pace? Because when you bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold, as you know, your star glory, moon glory, and sun glory, and that's an increase of light. And we know from Psalm 19 that this glory is that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day by day uttereth speech, and night by night showeth knowledge. So the knowledge of the nighttime is the moon and the stars, which is comparable to the Christians who have 30-fold fruit to 60-fold fruit and so on. So, and the sun glory would be the 100-fold fruit. And this glory is very important, and it should fill you, and it should make you the spirit come into you, because glory is all information. And it's information where Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. And the word started with John 2, John in John chapter 1. It goes from word to life to light, and the light shines in the darkness. Some people might see the fear in you, but you're fearing the Lord, and you might be fearing the Lord for the person who's talking to you too. So it's an interesting concept, this fear of the Lord. You know, over there in 2 Corinthians 6:14, the 7 and 1 of 2 Corinthians, the 7 and 1 has the fear of the Lord at the very end. But it gives you the instruction there to between the fellowship, righteousness to iniquity, communion, light to darkness, and there's the light again. This light's in the soul, and part of it is the fear of the Lord, and the concord, Christ with Beliar. Beliar is Hophni and Phineas. They were probably handsome men. They had so many girlfriends they had to leave town because they did something wrong. Anyway, there's the portion, believer with unbeliever. Unbelief is a sin. We're free from sin. You know, reckon yourself dead to that unbelief. The sin is in Revelation chapter in the back there. It's classed as a sin, and we're free from unbelief. And that's a toughie, but it's true, and it's there. And of course, there's what agreements do we have from the sanctuary to the idol? So, and then it mentions God being the sanctuary, and he lives in us, and we're supposed to separate ourselves, and we're not supposed to touch any unclean thing. He's going to be God to us, and we're going to be his sons and daughters, and therefore cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and blood, and flesh and spirit, and be perfected in holiness and in the fear of the Lord. I should remember that verse. Let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, and perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And that's more like it. So the Lord will remind you of these things, and he should tell you and correct you. I'm just a little nervous. I don't know why. Anyway, so the fear of the Lord is mentioned in Acts 7:1 of 2 Corinthians, and it's a runoff from the chapter 6. So there's the fear of the Lord in it. All of those right-hand side, left-hand side. You know, the sheep are over here, and then goats are over here, you know. The five wise virgins are here. Hi, good buddy. The five foolish virgins are going to end up over here. They're not there yet. We're hoping that they end up as the five wise guys. Anyway, praise God. We want to be wise. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So praise God. I just wanted to mention that all those lights there, it's a wonderful thing. And they kind of like go back and forth sometimes as you're making your journey and someone's trying to convert you to a different religion. Anyway, so praise and glory to God.
I believe that's the first time I've ever seen you nervous, Andy. Glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Quick. Could be. Patrick, what about you, brother?
Well, I'm just enjoying listening to what everybody else is saying, but
amen.
And I agree with everything. It's interesting that the fear of, I was thinking about how that fear is, it has to be of a strength that it motivates us to obey. And I guess I'm thinking, what was that? That verse, everybody blew through a lot of verses there, which was really good. And I got stuck on Psalm. You know, there's a lot of them that say it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Where was the one I was thinking of? Proverbs, I'm losing it now. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And so the strength of the fear of the Lord within us is the necessary motivator that assists us from walking away from evil. It's like Samuel was talking about the silversmith. I think of mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And that iniquity is that dross in the silver that Samuel was talking about. And I guess I'm just thinking of, isn't it interesting that Moses, when he went to the mount, that the children of Israel, when they were at the mount, and the the mountain was on fire and shaking and earthquakes and everything like that, the people were so fearful that they didn't want to hear what God was saying. They didn't want to. They were afraid. And there in Hebrews, it said that, I'm just looking here real quick. In Hebrews 12:18, it says, "For you are not come unto a mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempests, the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard that entreated that the word should not be, and they entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. They were fearful. They were afraid of this whole thing. For they couldn't endure what was commanded. But if you look at what Moses said, he said, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But what was the difference between Moses and the children of Israel? Or what's the difference between the fear of the Lord and the fear of the Lord, of God? What is the difference there in the heart? I can only say, for personal experience that just the understanding that if God so wanted to or got so tired of me, all he'd have to do is quit thinking of me for a second and I'd be history. I'd be gone. I'd be a vapor. Just like any one of us. If God wanted to destroy us, he wouldn't have created us in the first place. He created us for a purpose. And when we, grasp the love of God behind that power and behind that authority and behind that fearful, awesomeness, even though that fear at times causes our inwards to shake and to quake and to not understand what's happening, yet we still love him and know that he loves us and he has the power and the ability to purge that which restrains us and wants to destroy us from within. And he's the only one that has the power to purge it out. And he does so by his fear. His fear being washing through us and cleansing out the impurities. But they that do not have or have sought that relationship with God, that fear works in the opposite. It tends to repel them away. They run for fear and hide, and they want to save themselves or however it would, work out in a person's life. So I think it was just kind of all I was just making an observation there related to that fear of the Lord and how it affects us. Thank you, Father.
You bet. Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Missy.
I have two sets of scriptures here. Starting with Deuteronomy 10:12. It's the first one. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to, I was just reading it and I was reading past where I had before and I'm like, oh, I got to read that too, So I may continue reading further than I anticipated. So anyway, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the Lord thy God, belongeth heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth, with all that is therein. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you, above all peoples, as at this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God, he is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, the mighty and the terrible, who regards not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute justice for the fatherless and widow, and loves the sojourner in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the sojourner, for ye were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and by his name thou shalt swear. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of the heaven for a multitude, for multitude. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He is almighty, and it's like, you know, oh Lord, we see what you've done to your enemies. Oh Lord, we don't want to be one of your enemies. Oh Lord. So that's fear of the Lord. I mean, he's basically, that's kind of in the nutshell, some of what was said there. So, yeah, Lord, you gave us breath and life, and you can take it away as quickly as you've given it to us. But Lord, we know that you're long suffering, and, may we not be haughty and prideful in any way. And, not take for granted, Father, all that you've done for us, Lord, and to fear you, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you for being our God and our Father and our Savior. Amen. Okay. And then, whoops. Okay, here we go. And the second set is Psalm 34:11-16. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are And his ears are open unto their cries. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cried, and the Lord heard and delivered them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saves such as are of a contrite spirit. I think I read further than I was going to. Yeah. Anyway. So, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for putting fear in our hearts of you, Lord. Above all, we fear being disobedient to you, because we know that you have been so good and that you've saved us, and we have such a great inheritance, Lord, and we don't want to lose that inheritance, Father. We don't want to lose the inheritance, the promise of being a son, just like Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us a healthy fear. In Jesus' name, amen. Me done.
Okay. All right. Good. Go ahead, Barry or Marilyn.
Okay. This goes in a little bit of a different direction. This is net Acts 9 and 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Yeah, I really thought about that because it kind of reminds me of where, you know, we are today. You know, they had all the Old Testament scriptures. They knew what the fear of the Lord was. And as we study the scriptures, you know, just this has just been such a blessing to hear everybody's comments. This is something that the Lord has really been putting on my heart for a long time. But in our day, we can walk in the fear of the Lord and we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Lord's he's going to bring in the harvest through that. And it says that they walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost and were multiplied. So I just believe that that's something that we can look forward to as well as we, you know, really, you know, search out the scriptures, really get that revelation of the fear of the Lord in our hearts. And Father, I just pray for all of us, Father, that you are making the word alive in us. And part of that word is the fear of the Lord. Father, that we know the word. Lord, that we respect the word. That we are in agreement with it, that we trust it, we confess it, that we love it, and that we live the word because the word is Jesus. And I just pray for each and every one of us, even tonight, Father, this little teaching on the fear of the Lord, that the Holy Ghost would really enlighten the eyes of our understanding. And make the word alive in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Go ahead, Katie, if you got something.
I don't. My phone, we're in the car driving, and then my phone just put it in safe driving mode, and I don't even know what happened.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on. All right. Sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead, George.
I'll try to get this out. I been thinking about it and just feel like the scripture, taste and see that the Lord is good. That if we ever get a taste of the Lord, nothing else will ever satisfy. And to lose fellowship with him or to put that in danger, I think that even before we're saved, if you remember, you know, nobody has to teach a little child how to be selfish and how to love praise and to love the things of the world type of thing. But when you ever feel like you are a stranger in a strange place, like you don't fit in and you wonder why nothing seems to satisfy and you're walking in the world, but it just loses its luster, even self-love or love of just anything besides that calling that's on our life. It seems like there's a protection that keeps you from diving so deep into sin. And you wonder, no, why did I find favor? And I think when you finally get a revelation that there is favor on your life, that there's a fear of the Lord that comes with that. What if I lose that love? Is it possible that I could cheapen this gift of favor and grace on my life? And other people seem to be walking around me and not valuing what I'm striving to beat the world away so I can see it clearly. And then you get a revelation of the word somebody preaches and you hear the good news and the connections made, you realize the value of the cross. You know, it's the power of salvation. And then all of a sudden, the fear of the Lord and the love of God, you know, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, and to know the Holy One is understanding. And that eternal life is knowing God and his Son who he sent. And that knowing God, you know, just getting those glimpses and then walking with him and then knowing him by the revelation of his word and knowing him by the love of our brothers and sisters, can anything really replace that? It's like the hunger and a thirst for something the world just cannot give us. And I think that revelation of being left to our own devices and being left to all we have is ourself, that is the most miserable thought that a person could have when you realize how your heart is utterly wicked without the saving grace of God to reach in and take it out and give you his heart, a heart of flesh. And I think just the fact that he chose us and loved us first and has such a plan for us, and that if we would give into that more and more, that we would understand his love deeper, and that fear of the Lord of stepping off that path and losing communion. And what if we lose loved ones or lose the people that we're supposed to be touching with the gospel, and people die around us without hearing it because we were too cowardly? You know, the fear of the Lord shakes us when we miss opportunities and we see that if nobody else is going to lay down their lives and preach, then how are they ever going to hear? You know, I just, that's the fear of the Lord in my life. Amen.
Amen. Well said, George. Thank you. Go ahead, Andrew or Ben or Karen.
Hello. Where was I going off with this? First off, my dad got a verse in his head. He got 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So Paul the apostle that was writing to the Corinthians, an apostle, was in fear of his flock being deceived. So he has this fear as well. So that's the perspective that my dad kind of wanted to show, was that this is something that's totally, like, we're sort of seeing at one perspective, but Paul, as a great leader of the body of Christ, is sort of just fearing that people that he's semi-responsible for, that they're going to be led astray, being deceived by false doctrine or whatnot. That would...
Yeah, well, and you know, even parents get that kind of fear, too, you know, so it's a healthy fear, but you sometimes wonder how you might go about some things, but God has to lead you. Fear is a leading for you too. You know, there's the creepy people that come around, and it's a warning for you too. So, you know, you could be warned through the fear of the Lord. So, that's another thing that you might not be thinking of. You know, yes, we have the fear of the Lord, He's in control of all things. But you know, it comes with a discerning, because it is part of the glory of God, and it is part of the Holy Spirit discernment. You know, the discernment is also involved in the fear of God and the fear of what's going on around you, and the fear of even over other brethren. So he just mentioned that to the people of Corinth, but now it's known and read by all of us, so that when we experience these things, the fear for other people around us, it's a healthy thing. It's a good thing. That's why he said that. So that's the point I wanted to get across there.
I would also like to add on to sort of what my dad kind of first said, was that those lights, they light together. And one of those lights is strength. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I also want to bring up what Debbie said yesterday, her word that she said. Everyone, I don't know if any of y'all remember, but it was about bringing ourselves to our cross and taking away the flesh that's within our hearts. And she had a really good word on it. Everyone made a comment like, wow, I just, like, my flesh is shaking. And it really got me thinking about that one verse, that those things that are created shall be shaken, and those things that are from heaven shall remain. And so this flesh that is kind of hidden in our hearts right now is being exposed to this light, and any darkness that is exposed to, or any light that is in darkness, shall overcome it. So with this fear of the Lord, we shall rejoice in it, because it's sort of getting exposed to light, or God is exposing it within our hearts. And we should rejoice in this, because we know God wants to perfect us. He has perfected us, those being sanctified. So with this sort of flesh exposed, we're just like, whoa, my flesh is shaking. But we're excited about it. Like, I saw everyone's face was smiling. It's like, I'm fearing God, but we're smiling because we know that God is exposing this in our hearts. And we're just like, wow. I'm so thankful for God exposing this to me, because I know he's going to get rid of it. And it's just, again, that's falling in rest and falling in grace. But it's just this fear gives us joy. It's kind of hard to like describe that, but we reverence God, and we understand his sovereignty enough to know that he wants us to be perfected, and he wants us to bear that fruit. And it's just, it's exciting to be fearful. I don't know if I'm explaining this right. It could just be a little bit of my ignorance of the word, but I don't know. When God exposes something to me, I'm like, can't wait for you to get rid of that, God. And so I can bear my cross and be closer to the image of your son. Amen to that.
Amen. That was good, Andrew. If you kind of bring it.
And I'll bring up 2 Corinthians 3:18. We got it. We want to walk in that image, right? Yeah. Anyway, amen. Glory to God. That was all God right there.
You start to sound just like your daddy. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Amen. Well, that's true. He wants us to be in that holy of holies with it. And guess what? It's not anything we can do other than utilize our faith to trust him that he's doing it. That's how it works. Glory to God. Okay, Patrick, go ahead, brother.
I was thinking when Ben was talking about that, about having that fear, but also being excited about it. It's almost like a paradox or something like that. But I was thinking, it reminded me of Jonah. You remember when the Lord was going across, they were going across the Galilee or whatever, the big lake over there. And they had a big storm. And, you know, the disciples were, seasoned fishermen, so they knew exactly what was happening. They were rowing for all it was worth, trying to survive that storm. And Jesus was conked out in the bottom of the boat somewhere, copping a few Z's, of course he got rebuked Jesus was so confident or so at peace, even in the midst of that storm, that he didn't give it a second thought, to the point where he was sleeping. But if you remember, the same thing, more or less, was in functioning within Jonah. Because Jonah, if you remember, the whole situation there when they were in a storm, and he was sacked out in the bottom of the boat as well. Now, obviously, Jonah was in sin. He was rebelling against God and forcefully rebelling against God. I am not doing that. You got the wrong dude. I'm heading out of here. And of course, but even in that rebellion, even in that refusal, there was a relationship of fear of God there. And that's hard to explain, because he was confidently sleeping in the bottom of the boat, and the same thing was functioning in him, that relationship with God, even though he knew he was running from God. And of course, he came up, to the, when they came up and said, what is wrong with you, guy? Cry out to your God. We're getting ready to go down here. He said, well, if you want it to settle down, just toss me overboard. And so when they tossed him over, they reluctantly tossed him overboard, and the ocean quieted. Then those people in the boat even acquired the fear of the Lord. There was a fear of the Lord there. But anyway, I guess the essence of that was there was a fear in Jonah, which was the same, based upon a relationship with God that was functioning in him even at that time, to the point where even in the midst of this raging storm, he was asleep in the bottom of the boat. So I don't know if I'm explaining that or confusing that or whatever, but anyway, I just thought I'd throw it out.
No, that's true. Yeah, Jonah was at rest. He knew that he wasn't going to go over there, but seems to me that Jonah had already resolved himself. He feared man more than he feared God, but I think God changed that around. when he went camping out in the quail's belly, kind of changed his mind. He went to calling out to the Lord in fear. Oh, Lord. But, yeah, that's good. All right. Anyone else on the fear of the Lord? I don't want to have to go that far. I don't think that'd be a good thing. I bet it smelled pretty good, didn't it? Oh, my goodness. Yucko. All right. Yeah, Rian.
There's another part of the fear of the Lord. I mean, I think we spoke a lot about now it drives you to holiness. But there's another part of it that drives you to faith. And if you are led by the Lord, for instance, to let go of something, right, that you've had faith in, or that you put your faith in, like an idol or something, you know, I was thinking of that example of us not having a spare tire in our car, for instance, right? That's just an example, practically. So if you do that, or don't have insurance, for instance, if you don't have insurance, and the only way you're driven to the Lord kind of convicts us to do it, but you shouldn't be doing it under the law. But if you do it, it's because you can only do that if you have the fear of the Lord, because I want to obey him. So I obey him, and then we can have faith to do something like that. But then at the same time, once you've done it, now I'm driving in my car, no insurance, no spare wheel. I have the fear of the Lord on me for obeying the speed limit and checking the way I act in the car. I can't have sin. I'm not allowed to have sin, because then I step out of that circle of blessing, right? That's something how I think of it. It's literally, I have the fear of the Lord, because it's not a fear of anxiety or fear of, oh, I'm going to do something wrong. No, it's that fear of the Lord that goes, I have no choice but to obey, because I have put everything, my whole family and my everything I have in his hands. And that drives me to fear him, like to say that I need to be in his will. I must keep on being holy and being transformed and have that refiner's fire that we've been talking about working in my life. Because the opposite of it, if you don't have the fear of the Lord, then you probably won't have those acts of faith, because you're taking care of yourself. You fear yourself. You don't fear the Lord. You are not quick to obey. You are not quick to be a hearer and a doer of the word, because, you know, who cares? I'm happy. I'm safe. I take care of myself. Everything is provided for by myself. But when we're in a wilderness situation and we are completely reliant on the Lord, then we have that fear of the Lord on us, because it drives us to obedience and walking the narrow path and having that obedience to the word. Because I have no other choice. I have to. I cannot do something else. If I step out of it, I'm too fearful to go off that path, because I've got too much dependent on it. Do you know what I mean? So it's longer. You have to just put yourself to death and being in that state of dying to self. It can only be done because we have this reverence for the Lord, this fear of the Lord. And in that we have what Ben talked about was so beautiful. It brings great joy, because I know I can fear the Lord, because he is an almighty, awesome, massive God, and that nothing is too big for him. Therefore, I will trust him in everything and fear him, because I have to stay in it. And also I do not dare try and provide for myself or do my own thing, because that brings me back the other way as well. And so it's when it talks about fear of the Lord, it helps us with our faith as well.
Amen. It sure does. But there's all kinds of things you could go with that, Jonah thing. I like what Mariana said. Y'all see what she said in the chat. Oh, boy. UBM Comedy Club. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else on the fear of the Lord? That's right, Rion. The fear of the Lord keeps us in the Word too, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Find out what it is to be to rest in the Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody else? You crack me up, man. Yeah, Benita.
Yeah, when Rian was talking, I was just thinking about like the example he was talking about. And, you know, we have the fear of the Lord and we have fear of man. And when we were born again, and through the word and through the wisdom that he gives us through the fear of God, we are learning to overcome the fear of man, because we're going to be going into this situation where, you know, we're not to take the mark of the beast, because that's what the word says. And we fear the Lord enough to know and have wisdom to not take the mark of the beast. And that puts us in a, you know, people are going to say we're crazy. And how are you going to provide for your family? How are you going to do this and that? And, you know, we just have the confidence to know we don't need to worry about that in the wilderness, because he's taught us that, not to fear man, not to fear their judgment and their opinions and all that. That's not what we fear. So praise the Lord for that wisdom that he gives us to know where to step and how to walk through those trials that are coming. They're not even trials. Amen.
Amen. Just a walk through the park. And that's what a preacher told me one time when I first got saved. He said, you get saved, man, it's going to be like tiptoeing through the tulips. I don't know what bed of tulips he was walking in, but it was tough. All right. Anybody else on the fear of the Lord? One thing about
I think it's
go ahead.
Sorry, the tulips of tribulation is all came to me, tulips of tribulation.
Yeah. Plastic tulips and stones and mountains and valleys and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that lying devil. Oh, glory to God. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Benita talking about that, about what she just said, made me think of, you know, by the grace of God and him giving me the faith, you know, I haven't resorted to taking medicine or pharmacare or going to doctor or anything like that. And I fear what would happen to me if I went backwards in that, you know. I'm like, Lord, please keep me. Don't let me be, you know, he says he won't allow you to be tempted, but beyond what you can bear, you know. And it's like, Lord, you know, have mercy on me. Don't let me ever be tempted. So, you know, to the point where I can't, you know, that I would just go back. I'd fall back, you know, from that and do that. That's scary for me. It's fearful for me.
Amen. Go ahead, Benita. I didn't know she.
Yeah, Missy, wait.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say what Missy said. You know, there's been this temptation that keeps coming into my mind about doing something that I used to do, like taking this one medicine that I used to take. And it's like, why does that keep coming up, and I every time it does, I'm like, cursed is the man that, you know, trusteth in man. And it's like, I can't do that. I can't go there. Like, that verse just, I don't want to be cursed. That's the fear of the Lord. You know, you're going to be cursed if you do disobey him. So that's exactly, you got to put those all behind you and push them down, and Lord, to save us from those old ways and old habits, and praise the Lord.
Yeah, we just need to lock our eyes on Jesus, because he is the provider, he's the provisioner that does everything for us. Glory to God. We pray to the Father. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Benjamin.
He's just the closest one to doing the little hand thing.
Okay, where's your remote at, Andrew?
Anyways, I just want to remind some people here, just in case anyone's going to listen to this recording, that the fear that's the wrong type of fear, which is the opposite of faith, is not what we're talking about here. But I just want to remind people that fear is the scorpion spirit that you have to step on so that you can have faith, because we have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So that type of fear, I believe, comes from the scorpion, because the scorpion, if you see a real scorpion, you get fear and it attacks the body. It's like a bee sting or a wasp sting. It attacks. When you get bit by a bug, it puffs up. That's the certain part that causes the fear for you. But if you get bit by a serpent, it attacks the mind, and it'll give you false prophecy, false teaching, false direction, false doctrine. And because there are some false doctrines out there, I guess they didn't step on the snake. Anyway, and there is fear and worry and anxiety, and we're not talking about that kind of fear. We're talking about a healthy fear of the Lord. I just wanted to throw that in.
Thank you, Andrew. Well said. In a short way of doing it, too. Thank you. Amen. There's two different kinds of fear. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Can I just, my part, my small part is, everybody knows the scripture, fear of the Lord is wisdom, and even his understanding. But I look a bit further. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. Wisdom is Jesus. In other words, you have to look at a complete word, not just the fear part. You have to look at his righteousness, his holiness, his love, and his fear, not just that part. But add to that, I read Isaiah 66, just the last part that says, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my words. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Very good, Joe. Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Have we exhausted the fear of the Lord? Well, there's so much more than there, isn't there? Just a short time to do it, though. I want to thank Marilyn for bringing that out. That's a good subject. All right, has anybody got anything else they'd like to talk about? Yeah, Missy.
I've been mulling over something here, and oh, Lord have mercy. This has been such a trial for me. I got an email from a mom today saying that June 21st, she has the next surgery scheduled. And, I really believe the Lord, told me not to go there, like the mark of the beast, And I'm just like, Mom, you can't buy, sell, I know I'm not to bring it up or push it, but at the same time, I know that if the Lord opens the door for me to say something to her, maybe not directly related to this whole thing with all these surgeries that she's going through and stuff, but it's like, cursed is the man that trusts a man and makes flesh his arm, like what was just said, And on the one hand, I'm like fearful for my mom in the one respect, but, on the other hand, I believe that the Lord has her in his hands, and I'm like, Lord, I just ask you for your mercy and grace upon my mom. And that, somehow, because I know with my mom, she will just get her back up and take offense, if it's me saying it. And even sometimes we have to say things when we know that the Lord, put it in us to say it, not that we plan it or whatever, but, and sometimes people will take offense to it, and we can't have fear of them in that respect either. You can't be fearful. I'm just fearful of opening my mouth when I should have kept it shut, or keeping it shut when I should have opened it, But Father, I just thank you for being so merciful with my mom, and Lord, I thank you for opening and closing doors, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you are the one you're going to show her, however that is, Lord, that she is just bringing curses upon herself because of trusting in man, in her own works and all. But I know at the same time, you're being very merciful and gracious to her, Lord. And I just thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
It's hard being in the midst of it, Like I had the unexpected thing going to be with my mom and dad, because my dad had the whole bowel obstruction thing. And I read Marla's email and I said, think I should, Merle's always so good about it. So that, I need to offer, Mom, while you're in the hospital, I'll come and I'll stay with Dad and anything else you need me to help you with, And it's such a crucifixion for me to go through this and see all of it. I mean, it's a good thing, and it's like, and my flesh is just like, I don't like not getting to sleep in my own bed, but the Lord's been so merciful, like the last time unexpectedly, it was good. I had good sleep, and I felt good the whole time I was there, and it was good. And the Lord's been so merciful, and, but it's such a trial. It's a trial of faith. It's a trial of trusting the Lord. It's just a trial. and it's just really been good. And I'm like I was really praying that my mom, and I know the Lord, Lord, I know that you when you decide you're going to take this, you know, she's in your hands. I don't want to dictate to you how you deal with her and how you work in her heart and how you work this whole thing out. But I know that there's a coming a day when she's just going to lay it all aside. And and just totally trust in the Lord and believe him. And my dad too. I know he's going to restore them. I know he's going to restore them both. And I just keep thanking the Lord for that and just saying, Lord, I know you're going to restore their health. I'm not walking by sight. I'm walking by faith, you know? So praise you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Geneva, sorry to call you more.
Hey, everybody. Oh, that's okay. We were both the same person.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Thickly yoked. praise the Lord. Just also to prayer. We said that prayer Tuesday night that God bless us to find a rental or, you know, buy or whatever. And, Morgan prayed a bunch and, I think he just feels led to go in and rent. And we said a prayer that when we'd come available, we'd find something. Well, we found something and, it's in a good neighborhood and it's a good price, a lot cheaper than everything else that we've been seeing. And, three bedrooms, two bathrooms, has a little yard. So, I can't ask for much more. Just thankful that the Lord heard our prayer. And so we're going to apply tomorrow for it. And I just want to pray, if you all pray, if this place is the Lord's will, that it all work out and be smooth and we be approved and there not be any factors that get in the way. So Lord Jesus, you know exactly where we need to be and our treasures, Lord, is not in things, Father, or in materialistic items, Jesus, or things of this world, but God, you know the things that we do need, and Father, you know we need roof over our heads, even though you didn't need one, Lord, but Father, I just pray, God, that you bless us to only be moved by you, Jesus, and if this isn't what you want, Lord, or if this isn't your will, God, then I pray, Lord, you just block it, and then you make it to where it doesn't work out. But Lord, so far I feel peace about it. And I believe that Morgan does too. And God, I'm just going to walk by faith. And I know you're going to guide us. And thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayer and this place popping up. And Morgan was the one that found it. And I just thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for doing all of these things. And we just trust in you. And we love you, Jesus. And thank you. Amen.
Amen. We do. We trust you, Lord, to answer everything we pray. Lord, all right. Thank you, Father. Amen. Go ahead, Katie or Tia.
Yeah, so I just wanted to give an encouragement to Missy about her parents struggling with worldliness because my dad growing up, he always believed in God, but he was just totally in the world. And, once I like truly got born again, he really wanted nothing to do with anything I had to say about God. You know, he was just turning it down. And it was really hard for me because of course you want your parents to be saved and you pray for them all the time. And when you see the opposite, it's really tough. But I always knew in my heart that the Lord was going to honor, my prayers and my mom's prayers for my dad. And before Tim and I got together, I heard the Lord say to me that through our marriage that my dad would come to the Lord. And So we got married in a church, and my dad would never, ever, ever step foot even in a church, ever. My mom had tried for 20 years and he said no, but at our wedding, he went there and he fell in love with the church, fell in love with the pastor. And then he started going every Sunday, and then he started reading the word. He started praying all the time. And then now God is using the trial that Tim and I are going through. And my dad has been praying for us because we really have been struggling. We've been going through a lot. And my dad's been praying for us like all day, every day. And all he's been doing is watching teachings. He's been listening to UBM. He's been listening to David's teachings. And it's just amazing. So God's using our trial for good, you know, and obviously I didn't foresee that when God spoke that in the beginning. I didn't see, okay, God's going to send us through a crazy trial and then my dad's going to really seek the Lord. But, you know, God's ways are higher. So I'm just praising him for that. And it's giving me encouragement through this trial, of course, because I can see the good coming out of it. And the devil is definitely attacking me with so many thoughts of regret and doubt. But it's like, I can't even yield to those thoughts because I see the fruit of what the Lord is doing even in the midst of a trial. So yeah, so just keep praying for your parents because the Lord is so faithful and he does it in his timing and his ways. And they're always so much higher than our ways. And I'm just rejoicing in that right now.
Wonderful testimony. Thank you, Katie. Yes, we just need to rest in the Lord, don't we? When we pray, a prayer of faith is, and waiting on our parents, that's great. Yeah, Missy. Getting a rest, Missy.
Yeah, I'm in the rest. Yeah.
Amen.
The Lord, I don't remember a whole lot about it, but it was just a real brief dream. And I remember, I did have this dream, several years ago that my parents were, watching on TV, and I knew David was on the TV or something, and they were receiving it. And also last year when my mom had her back surgery, I asked the Lord for a word. And you all heard this again, maybe Katie didn't. But I asked the Lord for a word for my parents, and he gave me, I think it was Jeremiah 3:15 or something. I will give them shepherds after my heart and feed them with knowledge and understanding. And so I've been holding on to that. And I know the Lord's going to bring them around. It's just, you know, thank you, Lord, for endurance and patience. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for sharing that, Katie. Yeah, that is awesome. That is an awesome testimony. That is very encouraging for all of us concerning our family.
Yeah. It is awesome. God's going to get my praise. Go, Claire, go. Julie, look at y'all. Go on with your dancing before the Lord self. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Isaac. I knew that was you a while ago, but I had to be reminded that it was.
Well, that's okay. I understand. It's can I go back to the fear of the Lord just real quick? I don't mean to.
Well,
I was
sure.
Kind of not. Thank you. I wasn't really available earlier. I was listening, but I could throw a little type in every now and then. You know, you can't let a good joke go, right? Anyways, So the fear of the Lord, I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me. And then I want to ask, the next topic, not that you have to, but maybe just bring it up if you think it's okay, but I'll go with the story first. So the fear of the Lord, really got a hold of me. And I would say 2020 and 2021. And my whole life, I dealt with a particular sin. It was like an addiction. And it really kept me from faith, totally wrecked me. But for years and years, it was over me. And you know, in Romans 7, he talks about, oh, wretched man that I am. I do, that's a really hard one to quote. I do, you get it. Enough said. I did not make that very far. Anyways, so I felt that way very much. I really felt that about myself. Well, I was traveling in these days, and this was before you guys really knew me. And, you know, when you're traveling by yourself, you know, there's all sorts of temptations that can take hold of you. And I start to get really hit heavily. And I don't want to, and I thought to myself, I need God. I know he lives in me. I have Christ that liveth in me. And I fear God. I mean, I would get to the point where I would literally physically shudder through the fear of God, the thought of it. And that's going to bring my second question though, or my question for next topic. But I would shudder in the thought of, man, do you want to go down in sin? Do you want to be taken in your sin? And I said, Lord, this is enough. I'm done with this. I need you. And he gave me the grace to go on a fast for 5 days. And that 5 days is a lot for me, man. But I, you know, I mean, I didn't so much as eat a jelly bean. Anyways, but man, it was painful, and it had to be done, but it was his grace that even put the thought in my heart. Hey, you're going to fast in the flesh. Okay. You're going to fast and your flesh is going to die so your spirit man can grow. And y'all know this. Anyways, so at the 5 day mark, I was like, man, I need me a cheeseburger. Anyways, and so I went to the, now I spent a lot of time praying, and I went to the hotel room and I said, Lord, I'm going to do a faith at random. Is it okay for me? Give me a message here. I believed it. And I took the Bible. I opened up my finger down and I landed on Matthew chapter 8 on the 8. And I read it, and it was about the man with leprosy. And I said, yep, I missed that one. So let me try again. Seriously, I did this. I said, yep, I'm not very good at faith at randoms. So, so I took the Bible and I flipped it upside down, moved it around. Like, I mean, I literally flipped it upside down. Then I did it backwards and right side up. And then I opened it up real quick and boom, threw my finger down. Matthew chapter 8 again on the 8. I said, gosh, missed it twice, because that's how arrogant I was. You know what I mean? Like, that's how unseeing I was at that moment. But thank you, Jesus. Anyways, I called Mary and I said, Mary, I know I hit this. My finger landed on twice. The Lord's trying to tell me something, but I'm reading it and I just don't get it. I don't get it. What am I supposed to get out of this? And she said, I'm trying to remember, but she said something like, won't you just say a prayer again? So I did and got off the phone. And then the Lord just put it on me. You know, see, on the 8th day, the child was circumcised and my flesh was being circumcised. And that whole leprosy, see, that's a spiritual affliction of the flesh that I dealt with for years. And see, that leper came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, I'm paraphrasing here, by the way. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. And Jesus said, I will, be thou made whole. And let me tell you something, guys. And I tell you this from the bottom of my heart. Jesus was talking to me. He gave that for me too. And he said, I will, Isaac. Be made whole. And you know what? Never ever had a problem ever again. And I was made whole. And I'm clean. And I'm clean. And I thank God for the fear of God. So I want to share that testimony. And now I want to get into my question or a possible topic, because this is something that I have had struggles with. And I understand how it can be perceived. So pray for me. But sometimes the fear of the Lord, I do fear him, but sometimes I don't feel I have the balance of fear and love. And my question is, how do we walk with the balance of fear of God and love? Because see, there's the Father. We should fear him, but we should know that he loves us. And sometimes in my own path, I felt like the fear has overshadowed the love. And I take it, and David's message I don't remember when it was, maybe 2 messages ago, was so beautiful about all this. He talked about it and it was lovely. And I just had to listen to it over again. And I want to, gather myself here. I, uh, and seeing in my own. So David mentioned something that just hit me. Sometimes I take my father's relationship, my earthly father's relationship, and I put up on God. And I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do that. But I've had two earthly dads in my life. My earthly father, who was, he's a good man, very stern, very, 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 very strong, but just get out of his way type of guy. Now, I'm not knocking him because he did very good things too. And then I had my stepdad, who was literally my best friend. I mean, we were very, very close. I can't think of a time he didn't encourage me. But, you know, I know the Lord gave me those two people to see the two differences, the fear and the love. And that's a whole nother thing. But is it worth talking about? And, you know, because I notice, I don't want to get too much into it, but I notice through Arminianism, people really with that message, it totally counteracts the fear of God. And I see in the church, and I see the churches, and I see the young, the people in the churches, and I was there. They had the love part figured out, but they don't have the fear of God. Right. But yeah, I feel the opposite at times for myself. And I do apologize. I know what that can breed, but here's the thing. I also know that his grace is sufficient for thee and he will perfect that which concerneth me. I believe it. And I know for a fact he loves me. I know with it. Anyways. So I don't know if any of that makes sense, but if you can decipher what I'm saying, I'd appreciate it because I'm not really sure.
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about. Go ahead, Rion. Or Claire.
Yeah, yes, I think you said that at the end there, Isaac, well, you know what that breeds, but I suppose it's something we didn't mention earlier is that Andrew spoke about the two different fears, the one of the scorpion that's the spirit of fear that comes from the enemy. But I think often it's hard for us to imagine that fear of the Lord because of the examples that we had from our earthly fathers, you know, that's can help us or can also or not help us. It makes us not understand what fear is actually talking of. But there's I think it of as the fear that is it a fear that comes from the Lord or is it a fear that comes from the enemy? And that's how we discern between the two, because the fear that comes from the enemy brings condemnation. And that's not the kind of fear that we're looking at. I think that's what you alluded to going, when you said, I know what that brings, right? So that's condemnation. And the other fear that does not come from the Lord is one that puts you under a law. When you go, I'll put myself under a law, because that's a different kind of fear as well. Because the Bible says that if our heart does not condemn us, we have boldness towards God. And I would almost want to add that we could discuss not just how do you have fear of the Lord and love, but how do you have fear of the Lord and boldness towards him? How does that work? Because it often feels to me that when it says you must have boldness towards God, but then that doesn't seem very humble or is it prideful? Because where does the fear come in? But I think if we unpack that, then we'll see that no, but that's exactly what he's talking about. He doesn't want us to, the enemy would want to take that fear of the Lord and turn it into condemnation. And then we lose that boldness and we don't have boldness towards the Lord. And then we lose the love. We don't have that love then of the Lord. Then it's just an earthly fear that's not from the Lord. It's a fear that's of the enemy.
Amen. That was a good explanation, Rion. Thank you so much. Well, you know, you remember, I had a good father. I had a real good father. He was my best friend back then. And that was hard for him to do because there was four of us boys, you know. But that's the way he was. You know, all the boys were his best friend. But the fear came in. It was a reverential fear. Because when he said, Michael, go assume the position on the organ bench, there was fear. There was great fear. But after, you know, the fear was actually waiting on him to get there. I wish he'd just come with me and we got it over with and everything, but no, he had to wait and let me sweat, you know. And that hurt me worse than, but you know, afterwards he'd sit me down and he'd say, now this is the reason that this had to happen, you know. And that's what our Father does. He does the same thing, you know, if you go through a trial or something like that. Not to say that God does that. It's the devil that does it. You open the door that the devil comes in, and then the Lord comes back and smooths it out for you. But anyway, that's the way in my mind that with my Father, that's the way it was. And I always relate that to the Lord because he's always loving on you. He's always loving on you. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Well, just what you're saying, Michael, is like what you learned with your dad, is like he'd make you sit there and wait it out, you know, and which would give you time to think about, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, how am I going to get out of this? Oh, what do I do now? I need to, you know, and we do the same thing when we're getting like a chastening from the Lord, but we are not really sure what it is we've done. Or something, but yet you know, oh, Father, I'm sorry, you know, and you start thinking about things, and he'll bring things to your mind about whatever it was. But then but that's just on reverence and fear because you love him, and it's like, I messed up, but I didn't want to, you know, if I could be better, I would, like, you know, Romans chapter 7, the things I do, I don't want to do, I find myself doing, but yet it's not I, you know, it's my sin. Nature, you know, but yeah, making you wait, that's a really smart tactic. It's like, okay, you know, you're in trouble now, go think about it, but you're going to get a spanking.
No, it was a clipping.
Well, I was being nice, a spanking, because I love you. I'm going to discipline
you. I'm going to hurt you. No, yeah, but you're right. It's that, it escaped me, so I will just go on. God is so much.
The reverence? The reverence and the respect?
Yes, the reverence. Yeah. The reverence and respect of disobeying him is where the fear came in, you know. I didn't want to disobey him. It's just my flesh nature that made me do it. You know, the devil made me do it, Daddy. Didn't work. But anyway, this has been a good subject. And that subject you're talking about there, Isaac, we'll take a look at it. What do y'all think? Is that something everybody wants to? The love part I like. I really do. And we can go into the fears as well. So let's do that for, what's tonight? Is this Tuesday? No, this is Thursday. So we can do this for Tuesday night. How do we walk in the balance of love and the fear of the Lord? Is that correct? Okay.
Yes, that's exactly what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful time we've had tonight. And it was very good, opening up the fear of the Lord in many aspects. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that Tuesday night's even going to be better. And we're going to go into it a little bit deeper with another added thing to go with it. And that's love. And that's the one that I like. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Lord, just be with everybody as they go about their business. The next few days, Lord, place it in the hearts to pray and pray hard in the battle against the enemy and to scatter the enemy. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, folks. God bless you.